Shitan sharp. Vishika arrows. Hataha wounded by. Vishir Nadang Shahar scattered shield. Kshataja by wounds. Pariplutaha smeared with blood. Atatayinaha the great aggressor. May my prasabam in an angry mood. Abhisasara began to move on. Madvada artam for the purpose of killing me. Saha he bhavatu may become. May my Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Ungotihi, destination. Mukundaha, who awards salvation. Translation. May he, Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who awards salvation, be my ultimate destination. On the battlefield he charged me, as if angry because of the wounds dealt by my sharp arrows. His shield was scattered, and his body was smeared with blood due to the wounds. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The dealings of Lord Krishna and Bhishma Dev on the battlefield of Kurukshetra are interesting because the activities of Lord Sri Krishna appeared to be partial to Arjuna and at enmity with Bhishma Dev, but factually all this was especially meant to show special favor to Bhishma Dev, a great devotee of the Lord. The astounding feature of such dealings is that a devotee can please the Lord by playing the part of an enemy. The Lord, being absolute, can accept service from his pure devotee, even in the garb of an enemy. The Supreme Lord cannot have any enemy because, nor can a so-called enemy harm him because he is ajita, or unconquerable. But still he takes pleasure when his pure devotee beats him like an enemy or rebukes him from a superior position, although no one can be superior to the Lord. These are some of the transcendental reciprocatory dealings of the devotee with the Lord. And those who have no information of pure devotional service cannot penetrate into the mystery of such dealings. Bhishma Dev played the part of a valiant warrior, and he purposely pierced the body of the Lord so that to the common eyes it appeared that the Lord was wounded, but factually all this was to bewilder the non-devotees. The all-spiritual body cannot be wounded, and a devotee cannot become the enemy of the Lord. Had it been so, Bhishma Dev would not have desired to have the very same Lord as the ultimate destination of his life. Had Bhishma Dev been an enemy of the Lord, Lord Krishna would have, could have annihilated him without even moving. There was no need to come before Bhishma Dev with blood and wounds. But he did so because the warrior devotee wanted to see the transcendental beauty of the Lord decorated with wounds created by a pure devotee. This is the way of exchanging transcendental rasa, or relations between the Lord and the servitor. By such dealings, both the Lord and the devotee become glorified in their respective positions. The Lord was so angry that Arjuna checked him when he was moving towards Bhishma Dev. But in spite of Arjuna's checking, he proceeded toward Bhishma Dev as a lover goes to a lover without caring for hindrances. Apparently his determination was to kill Bhishma Dev, but factually it was to please him as a great devotee of the Lord. The Lord is undoubtedly the deliverer of all fallen conditioned souls. The impersonalists desire salvation from him, and he always awards them according to their aspiration. But here Bhishma Dev aspires to see the Lord in his personal feature. All pure devotees aspire for this. Shita Vishika Hato Vishirna Dangsha Kshataja Paripluta Atatayinome Pasabam Abhisasara Mad Vidhartham Sabhavatu Me Bhagavan Gatir Mukundaha. Oh, this is Krishna Smaranam, remembering the activities of Krishna. Bhishma Dev was fortunate that he could remember the activities of Krishna in relationship with himself. But there's no difference. We shouldn't think that unless I could be a personal associate of the Lord, how can I have Krishna Smaranam? How will I be able to remember the Lord? But because the Lord is absolute, remembering his pastimes with any of his devotees is of the same transcendental nature. There's no difference. Krishna and Krishna's pastimes are absolute. Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's paraphernalia, Krishna's entourage, Krishna's instructions, they're all absolute. So remembering any of them is as good as remembering any of the other, and remembering them is as good as associating directly with Krishna. Krishna, in fact, we are advised that we should not try to associate directly with Krishna. Krishna even says, one who claims to be my devotee, directly, I don't accept as my devotee. But one who claims to be the devotee of my devotee, I accept him. And Lord Shiva has also explained, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. The highest worship is to worship Lord Vishnu or Krishna, but even higher than that is to worship the devotee of Krishna. Oh, and this is only possible when there's no envy. Envy is the one quality, at least, that Narottam Das Thakur didn't feel inclined to try to engage in Krishna's service. He said, I can engage anger. He said, anger can be used against the demons, the non-devotees, such as Hanuman did against Ravana. And lust can be used like the gopis. They used their lust. They were attracted to Krishna as a beautiful young boy. So they used their lust in Krishna's service. But envy, very difficult to use in Krishna's service. Because a devotee, he's the well-wisher of all living entities. He's the friend. So therefore, how could he be envious of someone else? He's not envious of Krishna. He doesn't want to enjoy Krishna's property. Envious means that one is very disappointed to see others prosper or to see others succeed. So a devotee is not like that. He's not envious. It's said about the six Goswamis that they were Dhiradhi Rajana Priyo Priyakaro Nirmatsaranam Satam. So Nirmatsaranos. Nirmatsara means they have no envy. So because they're not envious, they were dear both to the ruffians as well as to the gentle. That's a quality of a devotee. He's not envious of anyone. He will not even cause unnecessary disturbance to an ant or a mosquito or even the demons. Krishna instructs in Bhagavad Gita, don't try to instruct the demons because they become angry and they become disturbed. So a devotee, he avoids the envious demons because he knows they'll just become more offensive. Because a devotee is not envious, therefore he can appreciate others who are serving Krishna. And he considers that everyone else is serving Krishna better than me. He thinks that I'm so unfortunate that I cannot serve very nicely. But the others are serving so nicely. He even considers that it's like we have on the street, all these people. But they're serving. By being there, they make the Harinam very enlivening. And they're participating, and their expressions and what they do, that's also a wonderful contribution to the Sankirtan movement, and Lord Chaitanya is pleased. So devotees not even envious of those who are not devotees. What to speak of devotees? A person, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, sang he described that there are some Kali Chela. He's a disciple of Kali. He wears neck beads and tilak, but actually he's envious and he's engaged. His bhajan is illicit sex. That's his bhajan. And he looks like a Vaishnava, but actually he's just posing in that way so he can enjoy sense gratification. So he's not a real Vaishnava. So there are some. And furthermore, it's explained that if someone's envious, then he's not a Vaishnava. It doesn't matter whatever his dress may be. If he's envious of Vaishnavas, therefore, Srila Prabhupada pointed out in his Chaitanya Charitamrita that those who are envious of ISKCON, who try to in any way, and I'll repeat that, who try in any way to impede the progress of ISKCON are envious and are not Vaishnavas. Prabhupada was very firm on that point. Because they're envious that it's spreading all over the world. So let me try to tear it down. Let me try to stop it. Or let me try to take the credit. These are all products of envy. So such a mentality is not befitting a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is very pleased to see that Krishna consciousness is spreading all over the world. And if he sees that someone is being empowered, Krishna Shakti Nahitara Pravartana, that the Lord is investing his Shakti in someone to spread pure devotional service, then he's very delighted. He's not upset. He doesn't, just like in our book distribution, for example, if we see that one devotee has excelled others in distributing books, so we appreciate, oh, it's wonderful that he's been so blessed or she's been so blessed by Krishna, so empowered to distribute. Of course, transcendental competition is not unacceptable in devotional service. There can be transcendental competition, and that competition will be in the form of, oh, the other devotee has done so nicely to please Krishna. Let me also try to do something nice, maybe even nicer, to please Krishna. That's transcendental competition. Not that let me go break both their legs, and then they won't be able to do anything. Then my score will be higher. No, that's not transcendental competition. That's mundane competition. So the unique quality is that there shall be no envy. There shall be no desire for being personally glorified, but rather that let Krishna be glorified more. Srila Prabhupada once, he spoke to a large room full of temple presidents. This was in Berkeley. And 1971. So, he said, now all of you go out and become glorious, and that will be my glory. So, that means that even if we have some desire for fame, that's a material desire, of course, because, but we can dovetail that. That desire for fame can be dovetailed by becoming, by doing something glorious to please Krishna and to please the spiritual master. Then you may become famous. But Ramananda Roy, when he was discussing with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya was posing questions. Can everyone sit without holding their knees? Yes, that's fine. I only say that because Prabhupada said it many times to us. He said, sit properly. So what were we saying about fame? Desiring to be famous? Thank you. Ramananda Roy said, so the question was, who's the most famous person? And Ramananda Roy said, the most famous person is one who's famous as a devotee of Krishna, as a great devotee. So that type of fame, that's acceptable. So if you have a desire to become famous, which most of us do, isn't it? No? Maybe in Finland they don't have that desire. I know in America practically everyone has that desire. But anyway, if someone has the desire to become famous, then he can dovetail that by desiring to become famous as a great devotee of Krishna. And of course, if he becomes a great devotee of Krishna, well then what will the qualifications be? Well, he'll be more humble than a blade of grass. He'll think himself lower than the straw in the street. So in other words, what we're saying is, yes, I want to become a great devotee, and then when I become a great devotee, I'll be so humble that I'll think myself lower than the straw on the street, so there'll be no question of desire for fame. Right now I may have the desire for fame. I may be contaminated. I am contaminated. I'm thinking I want to be famous. So, all right, indulge that desire by engaging very enthusiastically in devotional service to Krishna. And then all the contamination of lust and greed and anger and pride, all those things will be cleaned away. It doesn't matter what one's desire. Even if one serves with material desires. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaridi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one has no material desires or all material desires, or he desires liberation, he should by all means engage in very strong devotional service. Tivrena. Tirena means very strong devotional service. Not kind of casual devotional service. Casual, someone said casual means casualty. You know what casualty means? Who can translate the word casualty? It means accident. Like an automobile accident. So that's also called automobile casualty. A casualty means someone who's a victim of an accident. So if we're casual, then there'll be a casualty. If we take it very, you know what casual means? What's the word casual mean? I mean, what's the translation? Pardon? Pardon? That means casual. Casual means kind of nonchalant. You know what that? No, it's taking it very kind of, I'll get up some days. Some days I don't get up. Some days I chant. If I happen to chant 16 rounds, nice. It's good. It's great. If not, it's okay. Because we can't be so much attached to all these rules. We're not the International Society for Rules and Regulations. It's for Krishna Prema. It's if you feel love for Krishna, that's more important. Why all these counting beads? This is material, counting. Pulling beads down. This is a distraction for my Prema. So that means taking, and why four principles? Why not three? Three regulative principles, three, four, what's the difference? You think God is going to care about one principle? So this is taking devotion, and what happens? Rupa Goswami says, Shruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Vidim Vina Akantiki Harir Bhakti Utpataya Eva Kalpate. So such persons in the Vaishnav community, they create a big disturbance. Utpataya Eva means upside down, means turns everything upside down. As soon as someone begins teaching something that's not in the Shastras, it creates a huge disturbance. And that person goes to hell. And those who follow him, they also go to hell. This is not my statement. This is from the Shastras. It's also... So, it's very serious. Krishna is very merciful and very kind and very forgiving in one sense, but in another sense, he can be as hard as a thunderbolt. If someone is cheating... If someone is posing himself as a religious leader, but he's not presenting Krishna's teachings, then that person is especially punished. We see that. Just like if somebody is in ignorance, that can be tolerated. Ignorance is quite normal, and it's quite acceptable. Still, they suffer due to their ignorance, but not as much as someone who poses to be very intelligent or very learned, but is actually ignorant. He's even more punished. Just like, let's say someone's lying on the ground and they're moaning. So if someone comes along and tries to help them in good intentions, in that situation. Even if he's ignorant, he tries his best, so it's not so bad. He won't be punished. Everyone knows what he's trying. But if someone opens a shop and says, as a brain surgeon, but he's not a brain surgeon, well, that person is really punishable because he's going to be performing, what is it? What do they call those? Yeah, okay, surgery. There's another name too, but a more technical name. But anyway, he's lobotomy. He's cutting people's heads open, and they're dying left and right. And when the court finds out that so many people died, and you advertised that you were a brain surgeon and you were not, you weren't qualified, this person should really be punished. So we shouldn't be sentimental about those who, in the guise of being Vaishnavas, are actually envious or misleading, who are not presenting the absolute truth as they've received it. No one has the right to present knowledge that he didn't receive from his spiritual master. You may think, well, why not? I have the right. No. As soon as you do that, as soon as you present anything that isn't coming from parampara, you're immediately disqualified. You're out. You immediately have no standing as a Vaishnava. Vaishnava is one. What are the qualifications of being a guru? Actually, every Vaishnava is a guru. It's not that there's only one guru. But all the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavanam, the Vaishnavas are considered gurus because they're all teachers. They're all giving transcendental knowledge. But what is the qualification then of a guru is that he doesn't add anything or subtract anything. As soon as someone removes some part coming from the spiritual master, from disciplic succession, he doesn't like that part. He's committing a great offense. That's also one of the offenses in the chanting of the holy names. If someone blasphemes the Vedic literature, well, what could be more blasphemous than to just take it out? I don't accept it. And it's another thing to say, I may not understand it, but to reject it and say that it's incorrect, that is blasphemy. And when one who does that, he cannot be a teacher, cannot be a Vaishnava. So, in the spiritual world, everyone, all the devotees appreciate the service of the other devotees. No one belittles another. Rather, they are always praising, oh, what nice service. Even Radharani, who's the most exalted servant, without a doubt, she is always appreciating the service of other devotees. In fact, Srimati Radharani has the mood that if Krishna gets more pleasure from another devotee, then I will go and fall at the feet of that devotee and bring them to Krishna. In other words, she's not thinking for her own pleasure. She's thinking for Krishna's pleasure. And if Krishna will get more pleasure from someone else's association, more than my association, even though I would like to be with Krishna, but if Krishna will get more pleasure from someone else, then I'll bring them and I'll leave. This is unmotivated ohetukya pratiyata. This is, as Krishna, Lord Chaitanya says, without any considerations, without any conditions, unconditional service. Unconditional service means that it doesn't matter whether I like it or I don't like it or what's going to give me pleasure. That's not the consideration. The only consideration is what will give Krishna pleasure. And this is the highest stage of devotional service. And it's especially in presented by Lord Chaitanya. That's why do we say Lord Chaitanya is so important? Because he's teaching. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaura Tvishenva. He's teaching the highest form of love of God. He's giving the highest realization. When one has that mood of just pleasing Krishna, just like Bhishma Dev here. Don't you think Bhishma Dev knew? Of course he knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do you think he wanted to shoot him with arrows? His beloved Lord? No, he didn't want to do it. But somehow or other, he knew that Krishna wanted him to do it. Krishna wanted him to play that role, as Srila Prabhupada's pointing out here in the first part of the purport, that the astounding feature of such dealings is that a devotee can please the Lord by playing the part of an enemy. The Lord wanted him to play the part of an enemy, and therefore he did it. The gopis, once Krishna had a headache, and Narad Muni was sent out to get some dust from the feet of devotees. Krishna said, that's the only thing that'll cure my headache, is if I get some dust from the feet of my devotees. So Narad Muni went to so many devotees, but no one would give the dust from their feet. They said, I'll go to hell. If the dust from my feet touches the Lord's head, I'm not going to do that. But when he came to the devotees, the gopis of Vrindavan, they immediately started scraping the dust from their feet and putting it in a pile. And then he said, oh, you're not afraid of going to hell for this? They said, "Go, we don't mind going to hell. If Krishna's headache goes away, that's all right if we go to hell. Narayana para sarvena kutaschana bibhyati svarga pavarga narakeshu apitul yarta darshana. This is the mood of a devotee that for Krishna's service, he's prepared to even go to hell. Arjuna was prepared on behalf of Krishna to... In the beginning, he wasn't prepared. He said, how can we engage in this ghastly warfare? But later on, when he found out, when he knew that Krishna wanted this, then he said, all right, let us engage in ghastly warfare. Because if it's Krishna's pleasure, then it's not ghastly warfare, it's transcendental warfare. And the results will also be transcendental. So, thank you. Are there any questions? Yeah, you serve Lord Shiva by serving Krishna. Yes, that's the way to serve Lord Shiva, is by engaging in devotional service. And that's what he said also. We serve Lord Shiva by serving Krishna, and we serve Krishna by serving the spiritual master. We don't have to serve all the different demigods independently. There's at least 33 million demigods. And some people try to do this. They try to serve all the different demigods also. How can you do that? No. This is considered to be offensive. If someone's thinking that I have to serve all the demigods, that means kamais taistar hrita jnana. Prapadyante nidevata, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, hrita jnana, their intelligence is lost. Why? Kamais, because they're desiring. Why do they want to serve the demigods? For material benefits. And if they say, no, it's not for material benefits, what's it for? Why do you want to serve the demigods? Well, it must be for material benefits, because if it's for spiritual benefits, you just need to serve Krishna. So, Krishna has laid it right on the line. Those who worship the demigods are impelled by lusty desires. It may not be so gross. Yes, it may be subtle also. But it's still material, and it's still lusty. So, Krishna, why does Krishna say, Sarva dharman parichaja? No more worship of demigods. Stop this. Sarva dharman parichaja. Sometimes I go and I preach with the Indian, our friends, Indian community. And so sometimes this question comes up. And you say, they're starting to become like devotees, but at the same time they say, do you mean I should give up worshiping, and they mention a few different demigods. And I say, yeah. And they go, oh. They're so afraid. That's actually our qualification, you could say, from the West, is that we didn't know anything about demigods. We had no, of course, we have our attachment to our Christian rituals and our misunderstandings and we have all of our problems too. I'm not saying we're better off, but in that one area we have some advantage that we didn't know about those things, and therefore we're not attached, or at least we shouldn't be attached to the demigods. And we took Prabhupada's word. He even said that. He said, these boys and girls, their qualification is, I told them just to worship Krishna and no one else, and they took it. Whereas in India, I say worship Krishna, they say, oh, Krishna, and there's Shiva, and there's Durga, and there's everybody. We can worship Ganapati, we can worship this one, that one. So it's very difficult. Prabhupada found it very difficult because people weren't. But the Westerners immediately said, just worship Krishna, don't worry about anything else. They did it. And he said, now they've become great bhaktas. And then he took them back to India and showed them off, so to speak. And it had a wonderful effect. Now the Indians are also taking to pure Krishna bhakti. So that was Prabhupada's genius plan. But no, we don't need to. It's not required. It's the same principle. Do you need to water each leaf of a tree? Is it necessary? Oh, I don't want to leave out one leaf. There's a leaf up there. I don't want to leave it out. I have to put the water on the leaf. Why do you put the water on the leaf? Well, you're just wasting time. Do you think the root won't put the water to that leaf? Do you think if you serve Krishna, Lord Shiva won't be pleased? Do you think Indra won't be? That was the whole point of Govardhan Leela, is to show that you don't need to worship Indra or the demigods, just worship Krishna. And then ultimately Indra came and said, yes, that's correct. I was wrong. That's rare that the demigods forget. And ultimately he was taught his lesson. So no, we should not be attached to worshiping the demigods. By all means not. Because if you're attached to worshiping the demigods, then it means you're less attached. You don't have complete faith in Krishna. You're thinking Krishna can't supply me fully. Of course, we should offer all respects to the demigods. That's a fact. We shouldn't be disrespectful. But there's no need. Pure devotees don't need. Srila Prabhupada we never saw him worshipping any of the demigods. The altars that you have, this is the authorized altar, like this. We have Vishnu Tattva and we have the spiritual masters. That's it. There's no need for many different demigods on the altar. Yes?
Some qualities of a Vaishnava
Yeah, it says that one who upon seeing him, people are automatically think of Krishna and chant the holy name, that person is to be considered a very advanced devotee. Yeah. That's why even the dress, as far as possible, if we can dress in a as Vaishnavas, then people will remember Krishna more easily. So, what was the question exactly? What are the 26 qualities? No. The 26 qualities are: he's kind to everyone, does not quarrel with anyone. He's mild, like that, merciful, clean, sane, poetic. Mitabuk, he eats very sparingly. He's completely fixed in devotional service. These are the qualities, and we should try to develop them. Of course, we don't have to separately try to develop them separate from devotional service. Just by performing devotional service, naturally these qualities, yasyasti bhakti bhagavati kinchana, sarvai gunaistattar samasate sarah. Naturally, by the performance of devotional service, these good qualities will manifest themselves in the body of a devotee. There's another question over here. Someone? Yeah. I think you asked that question yesterday in a different way. Yes. How can you please the devotees? Well, what does Rupa Goswami say? What are the six loving exchanges between devotees? Nectar of instruction. Have you read that? So, what are they? That's right. Yes, accepting prasadam from them. And giving them prasadam also. Yes, and revealing your mind and asking questions submissively, and sometimes you ask and they speak, and sometimes they ask and you speak. So these are, and giving gifts to devotees and accepting gifts. So these are the loving exchanges. There's so many ways to please devotees. Devotees are pleased if you become a pure devotee. That's the most pleasing thing to devotees, if they see someone becoming a pure devotee. There's no better service you can render to devotees than to be a good devotee yourself. Because isn't that what we like the most? If we see someone who's really a shining devotee, a really brilliant example of a devotee, that's the greatest gift you can do to all the devotees. Become a great devotee yourself. What's the use in, you know, you're polishing their shoes and you're engaged in all nonsense the rest of the time? That's not really pleasing them. They want to see you become a pure devotee. Right? If you ask your temple president, what can I do to please you the most? He'll say, become a pure devotee. That's what he wants you to do. Tadiyanam. Tadiyanam means, yes, those things in connection with Krishna. But that's translated as the devotees.
Yeah, I was thinking that as a total of all
Yeah, but that's why we have Prabhupada to very kindly translate that for us as devotees. Of course, things in just like we don't disrespect things in that are in anything in relationship with Krishna is worshipful. That's a fact. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Haridas Thakur, "You don't need to go in the temple to see Jagannath because there were some social problems." He said, "Just pay your obeisances to the chakra on top of the temple, and that will be as good as." Because the chakra is also tadiyanam in relationship with Krishna. But specifically, Prabhupada translated that in every instance as the devotees of the Lord, that word tadiyanam. So we should accept that's the real, the most important meaning of that verse. Okay? Two kind of. Yeah, so it appears like a apparent contradiction. It appears that way, but it's not. What it means is that certain types of behavior is expected and should be performed in relationship with devotees of different standing. But one in his mind shouldn't think then that this devotee is greater than this one. Ugh, he's just a neophyte. No, you see, that's the point. There shouldn't be any discrimination on that level. In other words, just like Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are called most perfect. Krishna's pastimes in Dvarka are called more perfect. And Krishna's pastimes in Mathura are called perfect. So perfect, more perfect, most perfect. Well, how is it possible? A grammar teacher would go crazy at such a statement. How can you say more perfect? It's a contradiction. If something's perfect, there can't be anything more perfect. He would immediately say this. See, this is a wrong statement, but he doesn't understand transcendental, descriptions. So similarly, the fact that we give more respect to one Vaishnava doesn't mean we give less respect to another Vaishnava. If that were the case, then it would be material. By giving more respect to one Vaishnava, we're not disrespecting or giving less respect to another Vaishnava. But we're respecting them accordingly to how the scriptures advise us. Now, sometimes, like you say in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, no one should see any difference. They're all glorious. No one, there's not higher or lower. And that's true. There's no higher or lower there because they're all devotees of Krishna. But then other times, Rupa Goswami says, right, in the Nectar of Instruction, he describes that if you see someone who's chanting Hare Krishna, but his behavior is not very exemplary, then you offer him respects from a distance. You don't associate closely with him. And then if someone's taken diksha, initiation, and he's engaged in worshiping the deity under the directions of the spiritual master, then you should associate with that person and become friends with that person and offer obeisances to that person. But if there's a person who's fully absorbed in love of Krishna and spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world and has no inclination for finding faults in others, then that person you should surrender to completely and give everything you have to them. So there's different dealings. And that doesn't mean that Rupa Goswami is on the mundane platform. No, he's showing us how proper etiquette should be performed. There's a certain etiquette that has to be followed. Lord Chaitanya said, one who doesn't follow the proper Vaishnava etiquette, he said that those who follow proper Vaishnava etiquette, they are decorated or adorned. That's like a decoration of a Vaishnava. So, at the same time, we can do both. We can not consider one higher than the other, but still out of etiquette, we have to behave in a particular way towards different devotees. Any other? Yes. Yes, because Krishna wants us not to be envious of other living entities. So if we disregard that and we still are envious to other living entities, then we're disregarding Krishna's instruction, which means we're not accepting it. We're envious of Krishna. Why should he give me instruction about these other creatures? Who is he to tell me? So that's envy. Because Krishna has said, yes, one should be kind to all living entities. So a devotee, he naturally is kind to all living entities. Does that answer? Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.